Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Real life in the real world. Devotions from the Book of Psalms. The Lord laughs at them. Hey everyone, so glad you could join me as we dive deeper into Psalm 2 verses 4 through 6. This has a lot to do with how you and I need to stay true to God's ways regardless of the culture that does not. In the previous session on Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3, it told us there are some leaders, countries, and cultures that pridefully, continually rebel against God. They plot out how they can undermine His ways and formulate how they can come against Him. What does God say about this? About any leaders, countries, or cultures that mock and scorn Him. Well, this is important for us to know. We never want to accept what leaders or cultures do that go against God's ways or minimize what is in the Word of God. There are always consequences for prideful rebellion, as we will see in this portion of Scripture. Psalm 2, verses 4 through 6, He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain." Let's look at what these verses mean in context. Since the beginning of time, right now in our time, and in the future times, there are those that resist God's truth. They rage against His rule over them. They will have none of it. They resent it, and they resist it. Those who do not believe in the Bible go against its truths and act upon their own man-made, sinful, so-called truths. They may say they don't believe there's a God, but God created everyone with a conscience that declares God indeed exists. The heavens also declare God as the creator of the universe, the one true God. They can deny this, but nonetheless, it is truth that God exists, and one day they will experience this truth on Judgment Day. These people plot and scheme on how to go against the living God that is all-powerful and all-wise. They think they rule, but it is God who does in the past, present, and future. He always has and always will, despite their efforts to throw God off His heavenly throne as king and ruler of the world. Regardless of man's useless endeavors, God sits in the heavens, meaning He is on His throne. This is where He rules heaven and earth, from that elevated, noble, dignified view of everything and everyone. He takes notice of the prideful rebellion against Him. And God laughs at this ludicrous, insane effort to come against Him. It is ridiculous to the living God. Their tantrums against Him will never prevail. God is always victorious despite all their efforts to wage war against Him. At first, it may seem they are winning in the ways that they devise against God, but they will obviously see in the end, no nation, leader, or culture will ever defeat God or succeed to destroy His ultimate goals. Maybe it appears that way while on earth, but when the eternity comes, they will find out differently. God will terrify rebellious leaders and nations. Now, the nations means the cultures and people groups that plot to usurp God instead of surrender to God. But God has other plans for them. In His wrath, He will speak to them and terrify them because of their ongoing insolent pride that is against Him and His ways. God is a God of love and also a God of justice. He is a God of forgiveness and also a God of consequences. God is compassionate and also angry. Scripture declares all of God's character and that God is good and does good, Psalm 119, verse 68. It's far easier to hear only of the love of God and his patience, mercy, kindness, and compassion. Indeed, the wrath of God is difficult to embrace, but we must embrace all of God because all of God is good. God's wrath is as much a part of his character as his love. God hates sin because of the harm it does. Therefore, he punishes people who participate in this because it is wickedness in his eyes. God is a God of justice. He will handle it with his justice. How would he be just if he ignored wickedness? How would he be righteous if he did not punish those who do great harm to people and his kingdom? God's justice and punishment is just as necessary as his forgiveness and mercy. In Revelation 20, we read that the devil gathers the nations for battle. Armies are so numerous that they resemble the sand of the sea. Revelation 20, verse 8. They aggressively and rebelliously march on the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Revelation 20, verse 9. But because of this, in God's wrath and fury, he rains fire from heaven upon these prideful, militant nations and consumes them. This is not a pleasant subject, but it is in the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. One day, the sovereign God of the universe will set his king, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the ultimate ruler. All peoples, leaders, and nations will see this. Jesus, God's anointed, will return to earth to conquer and crush his enemies that showed no repentance. As it states in Luke 1, verses 32 through 33, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus' return in the end times will be the moment he assumes his throne and ushers in an unending era of God's rule on earth. See Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. And then all those nations, leaders, and cultures that mocked God and plotted evil against him will see the foolishness of their prideful rebellion when God's wrath is revealed. They refused to change their ways and bend the knee to God. Instead, they worship themselves. They refused the salvation of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, they remain steadfast in their rage against the Lord. But what do these verses say God thinks about this? The Lord will laugh at their insanity of thinking they are higher than him. Then the consequences of their continual rebellion against him will surely come about on that day of God's judgment. Thus, the seriousness toward anyone who thinks they can mock and scorn the sovereign God of the universe. Sometimes it looks as though the wicked are winning, doesn't it? But God says they are not going to win in his timing and in his ways, which will be shown to all. The takeaway for us today, our goal is to be faithful to all of Scripture, regardless of how the culture, sometimes even in the church, minimizes God's word. Do we choose the ways of the world or the wisdom of God. We need to be discerning as to how leaders and culture are rebelling against God and make sure we take no part of it. God gives us His strength to be strong in His ways, no matter what wickedness surrounds us or seems to go unpunished. We ask God continually for help with us to be faithful to Him. We pray for the unbelieving and the wicked that they will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God before it is too late, and His wrath delivers His consequences of their continual rebellion against Him. Let's stand for God in our culture with love and wisdom to have influence for the eternal kingdom of God. Let's be brave and courageous in these dark days. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 states, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Despite what goes on in our world, Jesus describes His disciples as the light of the world. Light is meant to be seen by those in the darkness of this world. Our light has no use if we cover it up and go along with the ways of the world. Followers of Christ display the light of Jesus by doing the good works which God intends for them. This is the opposite of those who do wicked deeds. One way to do good is to not walk in the darkness and deceit by accepting a culture's beliefs to throw out some or any of the wisdom of God. It's confusing to the unsaved when we toy with living our lives in only some of God's ways and only some of the time. This is not light. This is dim, and thus hard for the unsaved to see the importance of faithfully following Christ and all of His ways, regardless of the evil that surrounds us. It's not always about the seriousness of mocking God and scorning His ways, but it's also about being seriously dedicated to the Lord in our journey while on the earth. Alrighty, that's it for today as we search the scriptures in the book of Psalms. Hope you have something to spiritually chew on. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40 verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever."